Titus chapter 1, Titus in your Bible today. Titus chapter 1, now Pastor will be out Sunday. Jeremiah will do the heavy lifting. I'll probably possibly teach the Sunday school hour. I haven't got my marching orders yet. I think Jeremiah may preach the morning message, then I may preach the evening message. If you was wondering which service to miss, now you know. So Titus chapter 1, and I've entitled the lesson tonight, Sound Doctrine. And that's a name that another group that we knew called themselves Sound Doctrine, and they were Bluegrass Gospel, good group. But that's not where I'm going with the message tonight or the lesson tonight. It's something very practical for any church, spiritually practical, and I believe it's something very necessary for people in all churches across the land that want to actually be a church functioning like the Lord asked the church to function in these days. So sound doctrine. And when I read there, you look at verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 9. Then I'll give you a couple more verses. We'll pray and I'll bring you the lesson. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in the due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Now notice, it was promised, it was preached, and there was peace as a result of that, and that's peace to do the work and will of God as a church. Because he's talking to Titus, who he sent to Crete, an island off the coast over there in the Mediterranean Sea, and he wanted him to start a church and ordain elders. And so he's given him some guidelines that are good not only for a new church, but for any church that wants to function as a church should. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by... Here's my point. He may be by able sound doctrine, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. And we're going to talk about sound doctrine tonight, and we're going to bow and have another word of prayer on the lesson, and then try to bring you this message. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for a chance to open the Word of God. Thank you for what you say in it. Thank you for the book. I pray, God, now you'd bless, give me utterance to speak your word. May I be apt to teach and preach your word that's well-pleasing to thee and well-suited to your church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to notice two other places. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak now the things which become sound doctrine. Look, if you would, in another place, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. So there's a sincerity connected with sound doctrine in the Word of God. And lastly, verse 10, not purloining. But and the word purloining means stealing. And it means theft. You say, now what? Purloining means
if you please, like plagiarism. You know what plagiarism is? Just saying what you heard somebody else said because you thought it sounded good, and you kind of steal it to steal a little thunder yourself. That's what he says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. And that means an honesty. That purloining is like a literary theft. Like if you stole what Plato said because it was profound to you, and you told the people, God gave me this today. Well, you lying dog. You know what I'm saying. That's purloining. Not showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So let me say this at the beginning. We want to discuss sound doctrine, and I want to disclose unto you tonight that there's such a thing as unsound doctrine. Now let me go here. The very word doctrine is found in your Bible, your King James Bible. It's a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church. And we could stop there, but I want to say this about doctrine because it's a form of teaching. And in the context that we have it tonight, it's a form of the teachings of the New Testament for the church, which is, compared to everything else, is called sound doctrine. And there's all kinds of doctrines, but it's not all sound. It's got to line up with Scripture. So a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church, political party, now that's stepping out of this context, or other group, the doctrine, if you say, quote unquote, like the doctrine of predestination. That means you know a verse, some verses about predestination, and if somebody says, what do you believe about the doctrine of predestination, would you be able to take a Bible and say, well, right here, it explains predestination, foreknowledge of God, so on and so forth. Would you be able to do that, or would you have to rely on what you heard? Mickey Mouse, Jimmy Swag, somebody else say that, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You know, we ain't got much time left. You know, redeem the time of the days or even. You don't need to know that. Just sweep that away. No, that's confusing. You want to confuse the brethren. So any discord among the brethren. And then you would subject yourself to purloining or what somebody else felt about it or somebody else said about it, but not necessarily what the Bible has to say about it. And therefore, you're believing a doctrine, but not sound doctrine. So tonight, the definition for the term in the Noah Webster 1828 is in general sense, whatever is taught, hence a principle or position in any science, whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master. If you go in to serve an apprenticeship, whether it be construction, wiring, plumbing, cooking, cooking's big today. How'd I get on food all of a sudden? Anyway, you better believe those master chefs and those master electricians and those master plasters and those master builders, they'll have a set of beliefs that go along with what they do that you need to learn, or you'll never be a good cook, good electrician, good carpenter, anything else, because you don't know what they believe. It'd be like handing a Chilton auto manual to a kid. Here, you got it. Go fix my car. Can't get her done. I just want you to understand what the word means. The term, the doctrines of the gospel are the principle or truths taught by Christ and his apostles. That's what we're talking about here this evening. The doctrine of Plato are the principles which he taught, which are not sound doctrine. They're philosophical doctrines, they cause men to be moved about, if you've heard this, with every wind of doctrine. And so when you have that scenario going on, you'll never have spiritual solidity in a church. You'll never have unity in a church. Do you ever wonder why the pastors here in the church try to stay on the same page and try to teach complementary, the same thing. We'd have to believe the same way. And if you don't have that, you will have chaos in the midst. Because if we don't, as leaders, have unity, there'll be no unity in the pew. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 said, well, I'm of Apollos. Other guy said, well, I'm of Cephas. The guy said, I don't like either one of those guys. I like Paul. I say, what is that? That's somebody that don't have any sound doctrine. That's somebody running on their emotions and not the Word of God. When it doesn't matter if you're Paul, if you're Peter, if you're Apollos, or who you are. It doesn't matter if you're short, if you're tall, if you're skinny, if you're fat. Brother, if you're the man of God, saved by the grace of God, then he probably should have a message for you from the Word of God. And those other things shouldn't make any difference. You should only care about if he's got sound doctrine that lines up with the Word of God. Now, that... Anybody, and I'll get into the lesson, but I was thinking, when you think of doctrine, I thought immediately, not of spiritual things so much, but I was looking for an illustration, the Monroe Doctrine. Anybody ever heard of that? Sure you have. If you had American history in school now, if you were like me, you were the worst student. I hope you were the best, but I hated history. I just as soon took a licking as to read a history book. And now, God does change it, by the way. I love history. But the Monroe Doctrine was put together by a man named Monroe in the Senate, in the Congress. And he put together a package that in 18-something that said, my Monroe Doctrine, what he put forth was the ideology, and you can Google it like anybody does, that we did not believe in the English-type colonization of America, and we weren't going to do that, and we broke away from the king, which they had got their freedom. So that's the Monroe Doctrine. So there's doctrines in everything. I'm concerned with the sound doctrine of the Word of God here tonight. And so when I look at holding fast the faithful word, I think firstly as I look here and the promise that God gives to those and the preaching that is to be done about these things, we're supposed to, as ministers, be given to the doctrine of the Word of God. We're to teach the Word of God. And that's exactly what Paul told Titus to do. I'm going to send you down here to Crete. And down here in Crete, what did he say about those people? I mean, it's flattering. Where does he say that? He said... speak thou of things which become sound doctrine. I didn't mark it. Sound speech. He said they're all liars. I'll ad lib. They're all liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. You say, well, what in the world were they? Baptists? No. He didn't say that. They were a mess. They were just about like any other church, any place else. They didn't know what they believed, and if they had something they believed, they didn't know why they believed it. And if they told you they believed, they couldn't prove it to you on it. They had no authority. They had no standard. They just didn't know what was going on. And so they were in a mess, and Titus, the young man, was supposed to go down there and be given to doctrine and sound doctrine, meaning the doctrines of the Apostle Paul for the church. And he said, I want you to teach the doctrine. What did he teach? He taught on faith. That's the first word that comes up. He taught on faith and faithfulness. He taught, pick up a little book. We've got them someplace here in the church. I thought we did. On fundamentals of the faith. Say, what is that? That's a little group of scriptures put together on being faithful. It's got the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of faithfulness, the doctrine of tithing. Say, what is that? That's all sound doctrine. But when you get to going down through those things, the doctrine of church membership, the doctrine of ministering, the doctrine of preaching, the doctrine of deacons, they say, nobody knows anything about anything. And... it's comical because, you know, if they ask you a question, something along the lines of doctrine, we're supposed to have an answer according to Peter. But I found a lot of people, I've had people come up to me in this church and whisper in my ear, an older man. He's not here anymore, but he came up, he whispered in my ear. He said, I'm ashamed to ask you this. Would you go up there and deal with that person that came because of me? I do not know how to tell him to get saved. I thought like I might have should have been taking him with me and making sure he was saved. Say, what is that? He didn't know, he was not sure of himself when it comes to the doctrine of salvation. You say, how simple. Yeah, but if you don't have that nailed down. Now, I understand if you're afraid and that kind of thing and you can't do it. I got all that, but I don't think that was his case. I just don't think he'd ever taken a Bible and found one verse on it that he could show anybody else. And if we're going to do anything, we ought to have our doctrine down when it comes to salvation. Amen? I mean, we ought to know how to tell somebody to get saved in the church age. Not in the Old Testament, not in Ezekiel, not in the book of Revelations after the church is raptured out, but in the church age. Because you see, it's a specific gospel, and it's called sound doctrine in the church age, in the age we live. But I find people don't know, and I talked to somebody the other day that asked me a bunch of questions, and I asked them, well, what about this, this, and this? They had no idea. I said, scriptural, it was biblical stuff. And I said, well, what if you don't know about this, 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 and this, this, he's a preacher. How did you get to be a preacher? And he didn't know. He said, well, I just stepped out one day and said, I'm going to preach. He said, son, you're going to have to get in the book. You're going to have to learn the doctrines of the faith. Because if you don't know where you stand when it comes to tongues, somebody will eat your lunch for you. If you don't know where you stand when it comes to water baptism, somebody's going to make you look like a fool. If you don't know where you stand when it comes to the Lord's Supper or eternal security or any number of the basic doctrines of the church today, somebody will make you really look like a fool. Say, well, how do I do that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A little study. You say, I read the Bible a little bit. I get in the book once in a while. If you've got a Bible, if you go to the back, you should have an index. You should have maps. If you're fortunate, your Bible has a concordance. And let's say you didn't know the first thing about the doctrine of faith. Because you know there's the faith of Pharaoh to chase after the children of Israel. But for some reason down inside of you, you just don't quite think that's the faith that Jesus Christ had in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, where he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live, I'll get it. Go read it sometime. But the faith is of Christ there. I'll read it for you in just a minute. But if you've got a concordance, that's what happens when you get old and take all them pills. F-A, but I'm having fun. Don't mess with me. F-A, if you've got a concordance, you could go, now don't let me down, Bible, faith. Here, under the word faith, I've got a half a page here and a whole page down to here. The next word is faithful. If you were to want to study the Bible and you just had a Bible and maybe it had a concordance or an index of some kind in it, you could go to that word faith and it says Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20, the children in whom is no faith. You would begin to learn by running those scriptures all on your own. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be anything at all. If you just love God and you want some sound doctrine in your life, start studying the Word of God and just sit there and read those verses and go through them and let the Holy Ghost of God show you what He wants you to know about faith. And when somebody asks you, well, you got any faith? You can say, well, yeah, let me... You might have to go to your concordance and go track them verses down you've underlined. You say, what is that? That's studying the Bible. Not just reading it. That's studying it, comparing Scripture with Scripture. You don't have to write. You might make a few notes in the side of your Bible. You might get fancy and color code all the verses on faith and put them in red. And then color code all the verses on salvation and put them in green. I don't know. But we have a plight in this age where nobody wants to read and then nobody wants to study the Word of God. And I'm not talking about a seminary education here. I'm talking about sitting at the kitchen table, sitting in the easy chair as you drink the second cup of coffee and eat the sixth sweet roll. I don't know. Learning something about the faith you say you believe. Sound doctrine. If I ask you today, could you give me three verses on eternal security? The doctrine of eternal security. The church is, that's one of the doctrines of the New Testament church. Doesn't fit before the church, but it fits in the church. So, oh, I don't know, Brother Phil. I'm not that familiar with the Scripture. Why not? Well, if I knew it too well, they'll give me something to do. All we're asking is mow the grass. I worked that right in. I'm just kidding now. But you see what I'm saying? And I'm not being mean or ugly but to you tonight at all. I'm just simply saying that's why. Thank God for a man of God that'll get on his computer or get in his book or get in his concordance and run a bunch of scriptures down. And at least and it's so easy to do copy and paste. And you got to watch that because if you're not careful, they'll be purloining, stealing what somebody else has. But here's what they say in the preacher world. Copy, paste, repent. What? That's not how you get a message together. Say, God, what am I preaching on this week? And I was trained at a very early age when I began to preach about that you always need to touch base on the fundamental doctrines of the faith. Write them all down, put them in a drawer, and when you don't know what to preach on, get that out and get the first one and make a topical message on faith or love or meekness and go through that thing. Say, what is that? That's apt to teach the people that come to listen to you. Say, why? And I'm going to give you the three principles. I'm looking at my watch. The three principles of sound doctrine. That's where I'm going. But let me run around a little bit here first. I've got 10 minutes. Is my watch set for? Okay, 15 minutes. I do believe this tonight. Things are accomplished by the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. When I teach or when I preach, I like to have order to my message. Say, why? Just like a classroom. And when you get in a classroom someplace, like at school, remember at school, wherever you, if you homeschool, whatever, you had instructions, and you had to always read your instructions, then you'd done your work. If you had a question, you put your flag up, you ask mom, you ask dad, you ask the moderator, whoever. Well, church is kind of the same way. You say, why? Because that's structured, and we've learned that that's a good way to teach somebody something that we want them to know. And some of it you commit to memory, like math. Remember learning your multiplication tables? But there was structure to it. There was order to it. Now, what if the teacher just come in and said, well, today we're going to talk about numbers. And I want you to get a feel for this. So you just kick back, kick your shoes off, put your feet up, and I'm going to talk to you about all the numbers. Let's talk about the number one. You'd never learn how to add. You'd never learn how to subtract. You'd never learn how to divide. You'd never learn how to do square roots. I can do square roots. Can you do square roots? I can do square roots faster than you can do square roots. How'd you learn that? I got a smartphone. No, just... what I typed in, what's the square root of 3,200 feet? I don't know why I wanted to know. It was 56.8888, something like that. But it takes structure when you teach. It takes structure when you preach. You say, why? So people got something to hang on to, and they're not just bloviating. Huh? And if you want to see who does that well, tune in any news channel that you can find. They can tell more stories and more stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. No room for that in church. We need sound doctrine. Now there's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. With the Word of God, it's the same way. There's structure, there's doctrine, there's outline so that you can get something, you can put it together. And then there's rhetoric when you come away and say, what did he say? I don't ever want somebody to say that when I'm done. At least you say, what Brother Phil talk on? Doctrine. Oh, sound doctrine. That may be all you get, but at least I want you to get that, amen, and how important it is for the church. And you're not like 100,000 other people sitting in churches out across the land that can't tell you how they got saved. They don't know what happened when they got saved. They don't know why they were put in the water to be baptized. They don't know why they joined the church. They don't know how to minister, and they don't want to do anything but just sit there. Sound doctrine. And I like order to my teaching. And I realize I've taken an awful lot of liberty here tonight just to be myself. But I told Brother Ted, when the pastor's away, cat's out, the mice have control. And I hope he's having a good time. Let me quit with this. Take your Bible. Well, let me just say it like this. There are 50 to 55 times the word doctrine is used in the King James Bible. So how did you find that out? Studying. So I hit control copy and control paste and printed all those verses. And we're not going to take the time tonight to run to all of them. I want you to know they're there, and they will well educate you when it comes to doctrine. Now, there's no sin in asking somebody, well, what do you believe about this or that? Because I understand some of this stuff can get a little crazy when you talk about predestination, the foreknowledge of God, and some of that stuff, and tithing and big things like that. People just want to know. I think they do. And that's why you have a teacher. That's why you have a pastor. That's why they have deacons to help. Mostly their ministration is, to the widows and to the Lord's Supper's table, and the pastors help the pastor, that sort of thing. I got all that. But most deacons don't know why they're a deacon and probably aren't qualified to be deacons. Say, why? They couldn't give you three verses on what they're supposed to do. You say, well, it's a problem in our churches. Amen. I'm not picking on our deacons. I'm just saying they don't know. There's preachers running out across the land that don't know. They're just there to look good, pick up their paycheck, and bloviate. They can tell good stories. God help them if they can sing a little bit. They'll sing. Huh? I like singing. But I'll tell you what, I like preaching, and I like teaching, and I like doctrine. And you got to have that balance if you're ever going to do it. I want to give you three principles for sound doctrine. And from Deuteronomy chapter 32, 2, all the way to Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, there are 55 verses that deal with the word or the term doctrine. Some of it has to do with false doctrine, so you're going to learn the plus and the minus side of this. And as you can tell, I'm not going to give it all to you because time will not allow me to. But you at least know there are that many verses. And if you should choose to study just one time and you want to study doctrine and find out what it is and how it's supposed to work, you're going to learn about false doctrine. You're going to learn that the word doctrine in the singular always belongs to the church and the New Testament epistles. And you're going to learn that the word doctrines, plural, always refer to something evil in the Word of God, like the doctrines of devils. You'll learn something about doctrine. Why it's singular when it's in the New Testament epistle for the church is because it's harmonious. It all meshes and it all goes together. It's not contradictory. But the word doctrines of devils are not harmonious. One guy will believe that, one guy will believe that, that guy will believe that, and there'll be no unity, no nothing. You'll learn about the word doctrine. Now, this probably could have been a 3-series lesson here. Not going to run one verse out of those 56, but I gave you an idea. Three principles of sound doctrine. Number one, take your Bible and go to Matthew 12. I'm sorry, make that Matthew 15. First principle of sound doctrine. Matthew 15, verse 13. He says this. And you'll recognize the story. And he's talking here. You can actually start in verse 10. And he called the multitude, verse 10, and said unto them, hear and understand. I think the pastor Sunday night or Sunday morning, can't remember, was talking about understanding, wisdom, and those kind of things which come by studying the Word of God and being filled. Remember when he talked about the Spirit of God? And he went to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And he talked about the seven spirits of God. And those seven manifestations of the Spirit of God, which he got out of the book of Revelation, Isaiah chapter 11, that's what's supposed to be in a man when you look for that man as a pastor, evangelist, missionary, deacon, Sunday school teacher, Indian chief, or whatever other office you got to fill in that church. And you tell somebody that, look, I'm looking for a deacon or I'm looking for a teacher, but I want to pick somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's man or woman. And you go look at Isaiah chapter 11 and those 11 things there. In chapter 11, verse 1, those seven things there. And if a man don't have counsel, a woman don't have counsel, they might not should be teaching. If they don't have wisdom, don't have understanding of the things of the Word of God, and do not know doctrine, they may not should be a preacher. They may not should be, or they need to go to school somewhere. They may not should be a deacon. You follow what I'm saying? You know why churches are in a mess today? Nobody adheres to sound doctrine. Now, I was going to give you that principle. Look at it. I read verse 10, verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. So it's what he says. Be careful. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You say, why? They didn't believe it. They didn't have sound doctrine. Be careful. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You say, what's that mean? That means it's not rooted well. Say, what's your point? My first point, the principle of sound doctrine is being rooted well. Parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading after the fact when they're explaining what happened. But you need to be rooted well in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second principle. And you say, how do I get rooted? It's a seed planted on fertile ground. It's not a seed on thorny ground. It's not a seed on rocky ground. It's not a seed like any of the others. It's on fertile ground. And when it comes forth, it's a small plant. It is rooted well. It looks healthy. You're going to garden this year. And you want your plants to be well rooted. Same with the child of God when he's believing sound doctrine. Secondly, well-rooted, well-growing. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now that's a principle that becomes sound doctrine. And I don't have the time to expound on principles and statutes in the Word of God. But they're very important. And when you get into this, you get the doctrine of Christian ethics. I don't have time, but what's ethical for me to do as a child of God? You mean the Bible says something about that? Absolutely. And people are not well rooted. And they don't grow. Summer's coming. Good ethics say if summer's coming, that doesn't mean you take your clothes off. Huh? How'd you get on that? The same way I got on money. Doctrine. Yet, folks, you watch. When it gets hot, it's going to be 80. They're going to stroll in here with strapless stuff on, gals. You're going to see anything and everything. You're going to see bare backs and bare tops and cleavage. You say, you shouldn't say that in church. Why? Because I know those people don't believe anything. Oh, they believe what they want to believe. They believe how they feel, but they don't believe sound doctrine. Oh, I just messed up, man. Ephesians 4, I'm in trouble. And are you filming this? I hope you're not filming this. I'm in trouble. The pastor will probably fire me when he gets home. Ephesians 3, nah, he won't fire me. Ephesians 3, 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's that first principle or first thing. That ye being rooted, there's the word I wanted, rooted and grounded in love. Say, what is that? 3:17, I said 4, but I want you to read 3:17. You have to be well rooted in the things of God if you're going to believe sound doctrine. Look at one more time, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The scripture says here, and the Apostle Paul's writing this, they're all in harmony. Chapter 2, verse 7. He says here, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You're supposed to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not rooted, you will not believe sound doctrine. You do what you want. You'll be goofed up when it comes to Christian ethics. You'll be goofed up when it comes to proving your salvation. You'll be goofed up when it comes to tithing. You'll be goofed up when it comes to faithfulness. You'll be goofed up when it comes to being on time. You'll be goofed up with everything. Say, why? Because you, your standard. Right here's my standard. Sound doctrine. One more time. Now, the second one, growth. Now, that's Ephesians 4, verse 15. And that, here's the second principle. The first one's well-rooted. The second one is growth. But speak the truth in love. And he says, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the child of God in the church, Christ is the head of the church, seated at the right hand of the Father, expects there to be some growth. And there'll never be any growth, spiritual growth, if nobody gets on sound doctrine. Say, why? They'll just flip through. No growth. Unteachable. Remember that acronym somebody used when they come here to preach? They said, probably my son Todd, are you a fat Christian? You know him porking 330 pounds. I'm not making fun of him. He's trying. But he said, are you a fat Christian? And I'm thinking, where's he going with this, Lord? He said, number one, you got to be faithful. Number two, you got to be available. And number three, you got to be teachable. I thought, wow, I could probably gain a few pounds there. Say, what is that? Growing in the Lord is a principle of sound doctrine. Thirdly, and I have three other verses, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, on that growing thing. And you're going to know the verses, but I want to give you these principles that come to me. I almost said in a vision, but that wouldn't be true. 1 Peter chapter 2. You can lighten up too. As newborn babies that are sincere milk of the word that they may, what is it? What is it? Grow thereby. We're all expected to grow. We're not all babies, but the growing process, as I've experienced for 68 long years, short years, long years, I don't know. You're ever growing. I don't want to be like that guy that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to get more like God, more like Christ, closer to Him, care more, love more, and manifest. So my points were well-rooted and growing. 2 Peter 3:18, you're right there. 2 Peter 3:18, he says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. Let me see if I got the right place here. 3:18, that's 1 Peter. No wonder it didn't read right. 2 Peter 3:18, sorry. Here it is, last verse. But grow in grace. That's the one I wanted. Grow in grace. See, what's the principle of sound doctrine? Growing. If people are growing in the Lord, then they're zeroing in on sound doctrine. He says here, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You want to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? Grow in grace. One of the principles of sound doctrine. Lastly, John 15. John 15. In John 15, we know that that is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the vine, we are the branches, and those that we, and the things that we do down here are the fruit that we produce. Verse 2, 15:2, John, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Say, what's going on there? One of the principles of sound doctrine is the fact that you will produce fruit. Oh, Brother Phil, I'm just not a soul winner. I didn't say you were going to be a soul winner. I said you're going to produce fruit. What's fruit? Pastor was on it Sunday night. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, right on through. Say, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And when people can't manifest that, don't manifest that, or they're up and down on that, you can be sure they're off on their doctrine someplace. Say, they just don't have sound. Well, that just wasn't how I've trained. Well, then retrain yourself. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Bet me. Principles, three principles. Now, I could have made more in John chapter 15, verse 2, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Do you know the fact that sound doctrine is another phrase for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's an acknowledgement because He's the Word. The John chapter 1, verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when Paul told Titus to go down there and preach the Word, he told Timothy to go preach the Word. He's saying, preach Christ, because Christ is sound doctrine. That's what he said. So here, I read you verse 4 in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that beareth, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. He's not talking about winning souls to Christ, which is not a bad idea. He's talking about the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit of God. And if you don't, if you're not zeroed in, if you're not settled on your doctrine, I can guarantee you, number one, you're not well rooted. And when the storm blows and the wind comes and the rain comes, you'll be blown over, you'll wither, and you'll be out of church. You say, why? Because you didn't have sound doctrine. And number two, you will not grow. You'll be the same next year as you were this year. You might even be worse. Nobody stays still. And if you're not growing, you're going the other way. You'll allow more carnality in your life, more sin in your life, and I guess I could preach on and on. So, well-rooted, growing, and producing fruit. Verse 8, John 15, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, a disciple means a follower of Christ. You need sound doctrine. And if you have sound doctrine and you're solid on that thing, you'll be a fruit bearer. Be fun to be around you. I like coming to church sometimes because I'm not always, you know, up on cloud nine, so to speak. You know. But when I get in here, I see somebody worse off than I've ever had it. Smiling, talking about Jesus here. They've done lost their spouse or mate, lost a couple kids along the way. They've dealt with diseases that nobody can explain away other than God just took care of them. And they got the grace of God. They're solid. They didn't miss church. They're on time. They're good. And you say, what is that? Man, that lifts my spirit. Say, what is it? Producing fruit. Last verse, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go, as verse 16 in John 15, and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever, and that means anybody can do it, ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I'm done. You say, what are you preaching on tonight? Doctrine, sound doctrine. Specifically, sound doctrine. Say, does every church believe sound doctrine? No. I don't have time to develop that, but you know they don't. Is everybody that preaches on the same page? No. Everybody that's a leader of some kind in the church, whether it be a teacher, a deacon, or whatever, an usher, or whatever, a Sunday school teacher? No. But it's the leadership of the church, the pastors, and right on down, that should be on the same page, given to doctrine, so we know why we believe what we believe. That's why you hear us harp on faithfulness. You've got to be faithful. First requires stewards to be faithful. If you can't be faithful, I'm wondering, you're not well rooted. And you're going to blow away. So I think the message is clear. I won't say any more. That's it. Now tonight, I want you to stand with me and just bow your head a moment. And Miss M, I think I will have you come. Emily, please. And just play I Surrender All. Just by ear, any way you want to play it. And we won't actually sing. Just bow your head a moment tonight. And she can begin to play whenever you're ready. And I'm excited to be 68 years old and still in a church that receives the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Say, well, I ain't getting much. Yeah, and I apologize. I'm not that good of a teacher or preacher. None of us are. At least we've got a goal in mind. Say, what's the goal? If you can get rooted well, if you can grow a little bit every year in the Lord, and you keep smiling and you keep producing that fruit of the Spirit, you keep loving, stay peaceful, that will strengthen the core of this church. I'm preaching to the core. This is not the Sunday morning crowd. That's a crowd. This is the core. You are the doers. You are the people that care. I know this about you. As you get older, you'll want to do more for God than you've ever done. You may be more feeble. You may be more tired. But man, you want to sign up and volunteer and do this and do that. You say, why? Because you're well-rooted. And you love God. And it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. Tonight, if you walked in, I'm looking around, and you're not saved, you want to know more about this great thing we call salvation, would you see me after service? I'd love to tell you how to be saved. Miss M plays. If you don't need to come, that's fine. And you know me, I'm not a long invitationist. When she finishes here, we'll be done. But I want to say this. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here.